trying to preach through them this year as the Lord directs our thoughts there, just one psalm at a time. And we spent several weeks on Psalm 19. Now we've made our way to Psalm 20 and have a thought here the Lord's laid on our heart. If you will, stand with me this evening and pray for you, Pastor, tonight as we try to communicate the Word of God. I want to be a blessing to you. I want the Word of God to bless you and help you and encourage you. And we got to have the help of the Lord to for that to take place. And I know we're down in number, but you're here, and I don't want to waste your time. And I'm here, and just because some others we're used to seeing ain't here don't mean we can't get help from the Lord. Psalm 20, let's look in verse number 1 down through the end of this psalm. The Bible said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." I like that. I like how this psalm starts. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah, grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." I like how this psalm begins. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." And it ended, "Let the king hear us when we call." And this is prayer meeting night. I'm glad I can call on the Lord in trouble and he'll hear me. And I've got confidence there is a King in glory that hears when we call. And those are some of the great assurances, a child of God tonight, as we live in a troubled day. But I'm interested tonight, and I'll make my way to verse number 5 this evening, where the Bible said, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners." I want to get to that, and I'm not going to give him a thought just now. Hang with me, and we'll develop this evening. Father, we come to you this evening one more time, thankful for the privilege of prayer. Thankful tonight, Lord, for the good songs we just heard from the Burchett family singing. And Lord, we sure do have a lot to thank you for. And Lord, tonight we even just pause, Lord, in prayer to say thank you. Thank you for saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for a Spirit of God that seals us to the day of redemption. Thank you, Lord, for the church that you've given us we can come into tonight. And Father, thank you for family and friends, and thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for Calvary. Thank you for every prayer you've answered. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you tonight, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that's come down from above. Lord, we do want to say thank you tonight. And Lord, I pray now that you'd help us. Lord, for the next little while, strengthen my voice and my mind and my body. God, give us, Lord, the wisdom we need to preach, Lord, in demonstration of the power and the wisdom of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Help you people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated tonight. According to the heading, we understand that Psalm 20 was written by the pen of King David. The Bible said, "The chief musician, a psalm of David." It is believed that Psalm 20 is to go along and was sung with that of Psalm 21. Both of these psalms are considered psalms of war and psalms of battle. And when you study these psalms and the background of these psalms, and when you put them in mindset that they likely go together with one another, here's what you find. At Psalm 20 we've read tonight, it is a psalm of prayer for the war. Psalm 21 is a psalm of praise after the war has been won. In Psalm 20 we find that it is about victory that is expected. He speaks of in Psalm 20 that they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. David is expecting that they're in this war and getting ready to enter a war, but that God is going to bring them through. When you study Psalm 21, and we will in the weeks to come, what you find is, and it deals with and is about victory at his experience. The very victory that they expect in Psalm 20 is experienced and lived out in Psalm 21. And this evening, as we consider this tonight, I want to draw your attention to two things in Psalm 20 to develop our thought this evening. And we'll move on quickly tonight as the Lord helps us. But notice with me in verse 1, I see tonight there is a battle to face. And there is a battle to face. Verse 1 said, the Lord hear that in the day of trouble. A word trouble literally means distress and anguish, and refers to a situation or a time of extreme discomfort or affliction. In this psalm, you find that King David, he's sitting on the throne, and there's an enemy that's come about them, and he and the people of God are facing a war and a battle that, my friend, is distressing them and has brought trouble into their life. And they're living in a time, my friend, where the enemy has come against them, and there's great anguish in their heart and in their soul about what they're going to do. They have moved from the realm of peace to a time of extreme discomfort. And my friend, it appears, according to this psalm, it appears to me that the enemy is already, the enemy that's behind this psalm has already come in and began to encamp about the people of God. They're already, my friend, setting themselves against them. It's evident to David and the people they're going to have to fight. And can I say that's how our lives are lived as children of God? In this hour and in this generation. Amen. If you're saved tonight, you ain't got to go looking for a battle. There's battles that'll be brought to you. Our lives, our Christian lives, are made up from one battle to the next battle to the next battle. And my wife and I was talking last night as we was out on visitation, and we was talking about some things that we had been through and battles we had faced in the past, and how even those battles every now and then try to come back, and you got to face battles in your walk with God. And that's where the people of God are tonight. All Israel can see in front of them is trouble and a battle that must be faced. Have you ever felt that way? And my friend, you wake up one morning, the enemy's against you, and situations are against you, and there's distress and anguish and problems and trouble that must be faced in that day. And sometimes in battles, man, they go on and they go on from days unto days into weeks and into months. And what I'm trying to get us to understand tonight is that battles are going to come. Battles are something that you and I must face in this day. But notice with me, we move from the battle that there is to face, to notice with me in verse 5 again, the Bible said, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. And we find in verse number 1, there is a battle to face, and we could preach out of this psalm on that thought tonight. Notice with me, I also see in this psalm there are not only battles to face, but there are banners to fly. What the people say is they're making their way through this psalm and through a series of things that they begin to understand. They come to the conclusion what we need to do in this time of battle is we need to set up and flag some banners and wave some victory, and understand that we can, especially in this psalm, have confidence in our God. This evening, as we consider the banners that are being set up here, they reference a standard or a flag. When the Bible speaks of banners over and over, it's also referenced in the Word of God as a standard. You've heard of a standard bearer. And what he was one that when he was going into battle, he would raise the ensign, the emblem, the flag. Amen. The banner, the colors would be flown, and people would know, my friend, that they were marching into war. And so this standard or this flag that is being flown, it represents and was used primarily for three reasons in Bible days. It was used, number one, for the identification of sads. I don't have time to preach all this, but when they would flap banner, it was used for an identification of what sad of the battle you were fighting on. Amen. If you was under in our text, if you was on Israel's side, you would stand under the banner and the flag of Israel, so you'd be identified with the people of God. And we're living in a day, in an era, where there is a blurring of the lines, and nobody wants to raise a sure standard anymore. And it seems like that people, my friend, you don't know where they stand and what side they're fighting on. And when they say that we're going to raise and set up a banner, we're going to fly our banner in the name of the Lord, what they're saying is we've made up our mind and we're on the Lord's side in this thing, and we're not giving ground and we're not fighting on the enemy's side. There is an identification of sides in the battle by the banner they fled. And God knows we can preach here tonight. I mean, needs to be preached in 2014. Amen. You can walk in the average church in our hour and our day, and you don't know what side they're on. They say they're on the Lord's side, but their music sounds like they're on the other side, and their liberalism sounds like they're on the other side, and the way they look like they're on the other side. Amen. Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. The Bibles they carry in makes it look like to me, amen, that they don't know what side that they're on. And so when we talk about raising a banner and flying a banner tonight, what we're saying is we're identified, amen, what side of the battle that you and I are on. Amen. Amen. I want to be on the right side. I want to be on God's side. And when you're on God's side, you're always on the right side. Amen. Well, I'm about to feel like preaching now. Something's stirring in my belly. Amen. Amen. An identification of sads. It ought to be clearly marked. Amen. What side that we're on. What side we faint with. And that's what a banner would do. To fly a banner would tell, amen, everybody around you what side that you was on. I linked in with that thought. The second purpose of a banner and flying a banner was for that of an indication of loyalty. What it indicated was that, and I'm not only identified with the people that are over here, but I'm indicating that I'm loyal to the cause of that is represented in the banner that's being flown. Literally, to stand under a banner is to say, and I'm going to be faithful even unto death unto the cause that this banner represents. And can I say that loyalty is something that my friend is not seen in this hour. I think we ought to be loyal as Christians. We ought to be loyal first and foremost to God. We ought to have a loyalty to the Lord that saved us. Amen. We ought to fly that banner and say, amen, if I die living for God, so be it. But I won't compromise and I won't give in. I think we ought to be loyal to our church. And I know we're on a Wednesday night and I'm a preaching to the choir this evening. Amen. I think we ought to be loyal to the church. I don't understand this crowd that claims to be flying the banner of the Lord and the banner of old time religion. And yet, my friend, they can't even be loyal to church. Shame on them. Amen. They ought to be in the house of God. And we could, amen, we could preach there on that. I think you ought to be loyal to the man of God in this hour and day. Amen. There's a lot of people in this, and I told you the other Sunday, amen, if I ever go liberal and change Bibles, you ought to throw me out. Amen. I mean right on my ear. But if a man will follow God and stay in the Bible, you ought to be loyal to the man of God. And on we can go. Husbands ought to be loyal to their wives, and wives ought to be loyal to their husbands. Amen. And there ought to be a banner that is flown that indicates that you and I are loyal to the things that God has put in our lives. Tonight, what I'm interested in, this banner, specifically in Psalm 20, when they say, in the name of our God, we will set up our banner. banners. Banners were used for the purpose not only of identification of sads and indication of loyalty, they was used as an inspiration for victory. They was used to inspire men that when they looked out against the enemy and they seen the crowd, what they would do, they would then raise the standard in their camp, and that, friend, it would inspire them to run to the battle, and that, friend, to fight with all their might, amen, for a cause that was greater for them, amen, friend. There are many times, even in the Old Testament, in the lives and in the nation history, in the nation of Israel, at that, Brother Jordan, there was a minority in the people of God, but when the flag was raised and the banner was flown, that they would march in unafraid, and they were inspired and had great victories won by the banner that they had friends seen raised up. And you got to understand, in Psalm 20, the people wake up and there's the enemy staring them in the face. There's the enemy breathing out threatenings. There's the enemy saying that we're going to bring you down. You've got no hope and you'll never make it. You'll never survive against the attacks and the snares and all that we're getting ready to bring against you. How the people of God raise up and they began to encourage themselves in what they say is, and we're going to set up our banners. We're going to fly our standard. We're going to fly our flag. We are going to raise the colors of believing that God will give us the victory in the battle that we're getting ready to enter into. And can I say tonight that, my friend, these banners represent several things, I believe, tonight. Amen. Literally, what they're saying is that when we look at what the banners represent, when we consider the cause with which we are engaged in, the enemy that we're fighting against, we believe that we can go into this battle and we don't have to be a casualty. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to go down. That we can come out on the other side and God having given us a victory. And that, friend, all of that is represented in the raising of the banners. You see, the people of God face a battle. They find inspiration for victory in the banners that they fly. And so I want to preach for a moment this evening. Are you with me now? Amen. Let me draw you back in. Hang with me. I'm preaching on this thought tonight on banners for the day of battle. Banners for the day of battle. Amen. Notice with me, these banners are plural. They said we're going to set up our banners. There were multiple banners, evidently, that they were going to fly. In my study, possibly, that indicates to me that each of the tribes of Israel had a specific banner, a specific standard. And you read about that in the book of Numbers. And quite possibly what they're saying is, and we'll raise our banner identified, and we're unified with the king and the rest of the people of God, and we'll throw our banner in the ring, and we will fight with the people of God. But I want to make a spiritual application tonight, and there are several truths that I believe are found in Psalm 20 that we could call banners that inspire you and I to have victory even in the day of battle. Now, before I get to that, let me say this tonight. After winning the war against Amalek over in Exodus 17, you remember the story there. Amalek comes against Israel as they've come up out of the Red Sea. They're shouting, they're worshiping, and God's taking care of them. And all of a sudden, Amalek comes against them to try to wipe them out. And you remember the story when Moses would lift his hands, that Israel would prevail. Joshua and the people, my friend, would prevail. When his arms would wax, my friend, weak, and when began to drip, Amalek would begin to win the battle and win the war. And so here comes Hur, and they go up there, Aaron and Hur, they go up and they hold up the hands of the man of God, and Israel wins a great battle. And after the war is done, here's what they didn't say. Brother Al, they didn't say, man, did you see the way Joshua fought down in that valley? Did you see the way that we had a strategy? Did you see the plan and the strategy we put together that won this great victory. And nobody even said, did you see Moses up there on the hill? And how that Moses held his hands up and interceded and prayed that we can have the victory. Nobody bragged on Aaron. Nobody bragged on her. My friend, here's what Moses did. At the end of the battle, when all the dust settled and the smoke cleared, and the last of the Amalekites that day had been killed or run off, but then Moses went and built an altar. And the Bible said in verse 15 that he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And if you study that, it literally means the Lord is my banner. And what Moses was saying is, it's God that was our banner. It was God that we were fighting for. It was God that fought for us. It was God that won our victory today. And can I say, every day you and I live, and my friend, we are to live it, amen, under Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. That's our only hope. Amen. I don't fight today under the banner of the Ledbetter name or the Ledbetter ministry or the Ledbetter family tonight. Amen. My victory is rooted and grounded in the Lord being my banner. Amen. In Song of Solomon chapter 6 and in verse number 4, here's what you'll find in the bride, which is, amen, in the book of Song of Solomon as a picture in the church, that the beloved references her as, my friend, an army with banners. In fact, it literally says a terrible exceeding army with banners. In other words, there was something about that bride that when she walked around, that there was a spirit of victory upon her. Amen. She didn't come walking in. Amen. I said Sunday, I'll say it again. But she didn't come in, my friend, tripping over her bottom lip. Amen. Whenever he saw her, amen, she wasn't slumped over and down and depressed and discouraged. He said she walks around like an army and has raised the banner and has victory. And my friend is marching on. And can I say, there's too many people that have dropped the banner. There are too many people that are dropping the standard. There are too many people, my friend, that are sitting down and are defeated in the day of battle that you and I live in. Can I say there are some banners tonight, amen, in the day of battle that inspire me and that help me, and encourage me to raise my banner, amen, and raise God's banner, amen, and to fight on another day. And what are they? Number one, notice with me, amen, in this Psalm 20, amen, there's the banner of the confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord. Had you notice how this psalm began? It began, the Lord. Amen. The capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, Lord. Amen. That is the one who's in charge. That is the one that is in control. That is the one that, my friend, has all power and is positioned above every enemy that comes against us. Amen. Thank God tonight. I'm glad that I can tell you he is sovereignly positioned as Lord tonight. Are you listening? Amen. I'm going to tell you, banner, you got to learn to fly in the day of battle. Amen. Is that banner of confidence in the sovereignty of your Lord tonight? Amen. Without him, we're nothing. Amen. If he ain't in charge, we're in trouble. Amen. If he ain't got it under control, amen, we're surely going to face defeat. But I'm glad tonight. I like how the psalm begins, the Lord. Amen. He is the Lord tonight. Amen. You say, well, when did you make him Lord? I didn't make him Lord. He's always been Lord. Always will be Lord. Amen. You can't make somebody something they already are. That'd be like you saying, I'm going to make a Ledbetter pastor tonight. Amen. You done showed up too late for that, friend. Amen. You can't make somebody something that they already are. And you know what I'm thankful for tonight? I'm glad he's Lord before the battle. I'm glad he's Lord in the midst of the battle. And when everything's said and done, amen, and this thing wraps up, thank God he'll still be the Lord. That's a banner that'll help you in the day of battle.
Amen. Notice this sovereignty and the power and position of our God. Amen. I believe there's a fourfold confidence in the Lord that is rooted in His sovereignty in our lives. Amen. Notice with me, I think, amen, as the Lord, they're saying as the Lord, number one, He hears us. Amen. This ain't deep, but I'm about to run. I'm feeling like, amen, I'm feeling good right now, Brother Chris. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And I say His sovereignty tonight in our lives, as the Lord gives you and I the confidence that when we pray, He hears us. Amen. Verse 9 ended, let the King hear us when we call. Amen. There's days you're going to face trouble. There's days you're going to wake up and the enemy's going to be staring you in the face. Ain't going to be breathing out that you'll never make it. My friend, you know what we ought to do. We ought to raise a banner in confidence and the sovereignty of our Lord, and say, thank God I know in the day of trouble He hears me. He's got an ear that is open. In fact, David said, did you catch it while we read it? There, I believe it's in verse number 6. He said He will hear from His holy heaven. Amen. In the day of trouble in this earth, I'm glad He's sovereign God enough tonight. And my friend, His ear is always bent on the cries of His children. Amen. He's not a dead Lord tonight. He's not a dead God. My friend, we don't have a God tonight that's laid up in some tomb somewhere. Amen. When we bow down to bones, then thank God He's got ears to hear that. Amen. The cries of His children that. Amen. And that's a banner you can flag in the confidence of the sovereignty of our Lord. Oh, this is what He said, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. If you're taking notes right there, stop. Amen. As the Lord, we have confidence and He hears us. But as the Lord denied in all of His sovereignty, we have confidence that He hides us. David said, amen, He's going to defend them. The people rather praying that God would defend them in the day of trouble and in the day of battle. You know what I'm thankful for? Amen. Even though the enemy rages, and there's days I get afraid like you get afraid. There's days I don't know what to do like you don't know what to do. But you know what? I'm thankful that behind it all, amen, there is a defense of the sovereignty of our Lord tonight. Amen. That defends us. The word defend there, it literally means to elevate or to exalt or to raise. It has the idea that, my friend, you're setting upon a hill behind, amen, a walled fortress. And I say that's exactly what God is in the day of battle. Amen. Were it not for Him hiding you, my friend, you'd have been done in a long time ago. It's but by His hiding and His sovereign hand defending you and defending me. And the devil hadn't had a chance to get his fiery darts in us. And my friend, it's been Him that has hid us in His grace and hid us behind His mercy. It's kept you and us safe in every day of battle. Banners in the day of battle. Amen. The banner of confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord. Amen. His sovereignty, my friend, we have confidence that as the Lord, He hears us and He hides us. But notice what He said in verse 2. Amen. There's confidence in His sovereignty as Lord that He helps us. Did you catch it? Send the help. Amen. You know what they're saying? Amen. We get ready to have to get up and grab our soul and get our shields and put our armor on and we've trained and we've done all that we know to do. I'll be ready for the day of battle. At the end of the day, all our training may fail us. All that we know is going to come short. And so what we need is we need the Lord to help us. Amen. Can I say, Brother Charlie, I'm glad that as the Lord that is sovereign over all, I can have confidence that the Lord, Lord, amen, has and can and will in days of battle to come help me. Amen. Win victory over my enemy. Amen. Been a lot of days I knew as it going down because God helped me and God was there. Amen. Thank God I've been kept safe thus far. Did you catch where they said the help was going to come from? Amen. They said, send the help from the sanctuary. Amen. My help tonight, it don't come in Wall Street. My help tonight don't come from the White House. My help tonight, amen, ain't rooted in stocks and in bonds and in princes and governors. Amen. And senators and generals and lieutenants and colonels and tanks. Amen. Our help, amen, comes from where we are tonight. Amen. That's why I don't understand this crowd that acts like they don't need the house of God. Amen. Where you think our help comes from. They spent a lot of days. Even David said it later in the psalm. He said, I got up and I lived my week and I seen the wicked prospering. I seen the wicked getting bad with their wickedness. I seen on every hand that unrighteous people are being promoted and exalted. And he said, I was down about it. I didn't know what to do about it. And he made this statement. He said, until I came into the sanctuary, there was something about getting the house of God. And he found the help that he needed. Amen. He got truth for his soul. And I say, thank God tonight that we got a place. And God helps us make it through the day of battle. Said he's going to help thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. It deals with the things of God. Amen. The throne room of heaven. And our help comes directly from the Lord. And let me give you this one tonight. It's confidence. We're talking about banners in the day of battle. This banner, the confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord. Amen. We've got confidence tonight. In his sovereignty, his Lord, he hears us, he hides us, and he helps us. Let me give you one more under this thought tonight. Amen. And I like to have a spell. Lord, have mercy, Brother Chris. This is good right here. Notice with me in verse number 3. Amen. Notice what they say. Remember, and they're talking about the Lord now. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah, verse 4 said, grant that according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. You know what this psalm is teaching you in that? That the Lord acknowledges every sacrifice we've ever made for him. He acknowledges tonight, my friend, everything that we've done in his name. David, my friend, is a man of Lord. And before David would go to battle, David would go down and he would make a sacrifice to God. Amen. And give something to God. Amen. With faith that God, amen, is Lord. He had confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord, that the Lord would honor him. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, I'm glad I serve the Lord, amen, that honors his children. Amen. And I'm not preaching tonight that we can in any way merit anything of the grace and the mercy and the blessings of God. Amen. They are by grace and they are by mercy. Amen. Friend, let's be honest about it tonight. Amen. When you got saved, amen, and began to live for God, there's things you've had to give up. There's friendships you had to end. There's relationships you had to stop. There's things you had to detach yourself from. And I say tonight, amen, you can have confidence in God as your Lord tonight. And he knows everything you've ever given up. He knows everything you've ever walked away from. He knows everything, amen, that it has cost you to live for God. And in the day of battle, and the enemy rises up, ain't God, he'll honor those that have sacrificed and labored for him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I have a God that, amen, that's alive and is Lord enough tonight to honor me in the day of battle. I'm not saying I deserve it. Thank God by his grace and by his mercy. The Roger, he gives me things that I need in the day of battle. One thing I learned from Pastor Phil Beck is this, and he said it here in revival meeting on several occasions. If I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it dozens and dozens of times. And if you'll do right when nobody's watching, God will honor you when everybody's watching. And can I say tonight, I believe that's what that psalm is to teach it. That my friend David had been alone with God in private and offered his offerings and gave his sacrifices. And now David had some desires in his heart in the day of battle, and they're trusting and putting confidence in God, that God, Brother Larry, will honor him and honor the people of God for doing right and living for God and being what God wanted them to be. And I say tonight, it does pay to serve God. Hey man, you say, preacher, I don't know if it's worth it. Oh, the day of battle's going to come, and the enemy's going to set himself against you one day. And man, friend, God will honor them in all his sovereignty. He'll honor them and have honored him. Amen. The day's coming, it'll be worth it to live for God. Amen. It's worth it tonight. And can I just go on record and say tonight, I ain't got no bad grades and report cards to hand out about God. Amen. In every area of my life, He has excelled and exceeded all of my expectations. There's been days, Brother Larry, He ought to let me be done in. There's days He ought to let me have been defeated. But thank God I have confidence tonight in His sovereignty as my Lord. And He's honored me and honored wrath and honored faithfulness every day of battle. Banners in the day of battle. Are we getting any help tonight? Amen. Number two, I've got a hasten. Lord, I feel like preaching now. Amen. I'm feeling loose as a goose right now, about to fly away, son. Amen. Number two, notice with me, not only the banner. I'm telling you, banners that inspire you and I to victory in the day of battle. The banner, the confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord. That's verses 1-4. But notice verse 5 again. And I find here there's the banner of the contentment with the salvation of the Lord. There's the banner of contentment with the salvation of the Lord. Did you catch what they said? For they said, we're going to set up our banners in the name of our God. Here's what they said. They said, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And that word will, that phrase, we will, it doesn't mean that they're going to do it. Amen. When the battle's over, it is a statement of determination. They're saying right now, we will do this. Amen. The battle is there and the enemy is there and the enemy's still breathing in our face and they're still telling us we're going to go down. We're going to set up a banner and we're going to be inspired to victory in this battle. Amen. By the contentment, that banner, the contentment with the salvation of our Lord. Amen. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Now, this word rejoice and this phrase rejoice in thy salvation, the word rejoice specifically, it has three definitions in a file. Amen. Number one, it means to shout for joy. You know what they're saying? They're saying the enemy's staring us right in the face. The enemy is looking at us eyeball to eyeball, and we're looking at them eyeball to eyeball, and we're going to shout it out right in front of them. Amen. In spite of what they're saying, we're going to shout for joy while they're standing right in front of us with the sword reared back, ready to chop our head off just over the fact that we know something about His salvation. Is anybody with me tonight? Amen. You know what we ought to do tonight? We ought to look the devil square in the eyeball to eyeball and have a shouting spell and rejoice over the fact that we're saved by the grace of God. And I say that's a banner in the day of battle to know you're saved. And even if you do die in the battle, praise God, you can't threaten me with glory. You can't threaten me with heaven and that. Amen. If you do kill me, ain't God to be absent from this world is to be present with the Lord. They are at a place where they say, we will rejoice in thy salvation. We're going to shout for joy right in your face. Amen. Well, I know it's Wednesday. We ought to be happier than this about this. You know what they're saying? We're so satisfied just with the fact we're saved. That you can come against us all you want, we're still saved. The word rejoice, one of the other definitions I found, it literally means to awake out of a stupor, out of a slumber. Amen. You know what they're saying? We're going to wake up, amen, to the fact that we're saved. We're waking up today and the enemy's there, but thank God we've woke up and we're still saved. Amen. You know what some people need to do tonight? They need to wake up to the fact that they've been born again and saved. And I don't understand it all, amen. I can't imagine somebody forgetting that they've been saved, but Peter, obviously it can happen, amen, to some degree, probably not necessarily in the math as much as it is in the way we live our lives. But Peter said you can forget that you was purged from your old sins. Amen. I don't know how that happens, but I don't ever want to get the place where I have to find out. Are you listening? In Romans 13, Paul said, and it's time, it's happened. Time to awake out of sleep. Amen. Listen, I believe tonight the fact that we're saved, amen, we ought to wake out of spiritual slumber. Amen. We've been sleeping too long. God's children have been rocked to sleep in a world, my friend, of being pacified in carnal things. Now they wake up in the day of battle and they say we're going to fly our banner over the fact that we're satisfied, that we're saved. We're waking up today, amen, knowing that we're satisfied that He's done everything and more that we deserve. The fact that we're saved tonight is a banner. We ought to fly in the day of battle. It literally means to be overcome. This word rejoice means to be overcome. And that is specifically with the spirit of joy. Man, I've got to hurry. Amen. They're saying we'll rejoice in thy salvation. We're overcome with joy over the fact that we was on a road to hell and God reached down and saved us. We was headed for destruction and now we're not. And because He reached down and saved us. Amen. Can I ask you a question? When is the last time you got overcome with joy over the fact you were saved? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about them spiritual, can't help it. Overcome, get in the third glory. Shout her out, lose your mind, mess up your hair. Run your makeup, ma'am. Woo, hallelujah. I'm talking about out yonder. Amen. I'm talking about caught up, whether in the body or out of the body. That's what that means, to rejoice, to be overcome with joy. We're going to be overcome with joy in thy salvation. Amen. Not speaking in an unknown tongue, but I mean just glory to God, I'm saved, and you can't help. You just can't hold it back anymore. It just explodes. So I ain't ever had that. You every person, amen. Sammy Allen said this back last month. We was down there at Chesney, South Carolina. He said every born again saved person ought to get in the glory at least one time. Amen. You say I ain't ever had it. You ought to pray tonight. God would let you get in a realm, my friend, where, amen, you got overcome with joy to the point you forgot who was in the building, you forgot who was around you, amen, and just let them waves roll up over your soul, amen, and be contented and I'm thoroughly satisfied and contented with the salvation God give you. Amen. That'll help you in the day of battle. You want to go down in defeat, you just look around and see all that's against you. That'll send you into depression and discouragement and defeat quicker than anything. But when you wake up every morning, you look the devil eyeball to eyeball, and you look the enemy eyeball to eyeball, and you look the thing that is set against you eyeball to eyeball and say, I'm saved and I'm happy.
and rejoice over it. Shout for joy. Be overcome with joy. Amen. Over it, you'll find that shouting and that rejoicing, that contentment with what God gave you when you got saved will override every fear you have in the day of battle. All right, am I making sense? Man, I got to hurry. The confidence, the banner, the confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord. Number two, the banner, the contentment with the salvation of the Lord. Number three, quickly, and I'm done, the banner, the consideration of the strength of the Lord. David begins to speak. You'll find when you study this psalm that it's the people that are speaking in verse number 1 through 4, or verses 1 through 5, and then verse 6, David begins to speak. He said, "Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed." And I say tonight that this means that David had at some point some doubts about the battle. Amen. But listening to God's people raising banners, watching them raise the banners, but Job of confidence in the sovereignty of the Lord, and listening to them raise the banner of contentment in the salvation of the Lord, has now led David to raise his own banner in the consideration of the strength of the Lord. Amen. Listen, after some consideration, he said, "Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed." Amen. Can I say there's some things that we ought to consider in the day of battle about the strength of the Lord that'll help you and I have victory in the day of battle. Amen. Number one, watch this with me tonight. I'm just going to throw them out. I ain't going to preach them. Notice we ought to consider the personal declaration of His strength. The personal declaration of His strength. Verse 6 said, "He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." You know what David is saying? David is saying he ain't going to send an angel to do his job. He ain't going to send some patriarch of the faith to come and look after me. He's going to do it himself. Amen. Can you imagine having Abraham by your side? That would be a blessing. But how much greater to know that God is going to manifest His strength. Abraham and all his faith may still fail me, because I've read Abraham's life. His faith wasn't always as strong as it ought to be. You imagine having somebody like Samson and all the physical strength that he had. Abraham had strength in faith. Samson had physical strength. What a blessing that would be to walk with somebody that my friend is a mighty man of valor. But I've read his life, and he lost his strength at times. David said he ain't sending an angel, and he ain't sending some forefather of the faith. He'll come and save me personally with the saving strength of His right hand. Boy, I'd like to preach that. It's a personal God we serve tonight. Amen. He will personally hear and reach forth His right hand to rescue His own. Notice with me number 2, verse 7, the past display of His strength. Well, to consider that tonight in the banner in the day as a banner in the day of battle. Notice what he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Some trust in the things of this world. But notice what David said, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Boy, I want to preach this so bad it's about to kill me. But Jerry, you know what he just said? He said, "I've done been through days of battle before. There's things I have stored away in my memory. There's things tucked away in my memory bank I ain't ever forgot. There's been other days I woke up and there's been other enemies that have stared me in the face. And God brought me through every one of them. And so I won't trust chariots and I won't trust horses. I'll put my confidence and I'll consider His strength. That is, it has been displayed in the past." Amen. My friend, you're going to make it, and you know you're going to make it, because God's done brought you through other battles. The past display of His strength. Number 3, amen, in consideration, the banner, the consideration, the strength of the Lord. And I'm done. Verse 8 said, "They are brought down and fallen." They ain't even, are you listening to me? They ain't even gotten the battle yet, and they already said, "Y'all good has gone down already. We just going to count you down."
And when we count you down, we're going to count us up. Why? Because God's strong enough. They have considered that God is mighty enough. Notice the purpose, desire of His strength. Why does God manifest His strength in our lives in the day of battle? Here it is. Notice what they said. We are risen. Is that what it said? We are risen. And that's the phrase I want, Brother Dean. And stand upright. You know what it literally means? It means to be a witness or to testify or to give a testimony. Why, when we consider God's strength in the day of battle as a banner, we lift that as a banner in the day of battle. Why does God manifest His power and strength in our lives? Here's why. So we can stand up when the battle's over and say, God did it all. God brought me through. It wasn't my strength because I was shaking in my boots before it all got started. Come on now. Amen. Did you catch? Can I give y'all one more thing? I passed it over and I should have said it. And I got so much to give you and I know we got to go. But verse 1 said, the God of Jacob defend thee. Is that what it said? He could have said, he could have easily said, Betty, the God of Abraham. But we identify more with Jacob than we do Abraham, do we not?
Amen.
Abraham, when I think of Abraham, I think the father of faith, the man that God has raised up to become the father of the nation of Israel, not just the father of the nation of Israel, but the father of all those that are in the faith. Right? Mighty man, faithful man, man of faith. But Jacob, son, I can identify with him. Trickster, deceiver, conniver, looking out for number one. And they said, the God of Jacob. You know what Jacob became? Jacob became a witness and a testimony. And it don't matter how messed up your life is. When God steps in your life and God wins battles, you can testify to the greatness of the grace of God. And stand on the other side of the battle and say, it's all about Him, it's nothing about me. Hallelujah. Can I say that's the story of my life? Amen. It ain't Ledbetter that got Ledbetter this far. Oh no. It's been the Lord that got Ledbetter this far. It hadn't been my faith, because my faith has failed so many days, but God has stepped in and strengthened in the night. I stand upright as a witness to testify of the goodness of the grace and the might of the strength of our God. Banners in the day of battle. Hey, you're going to face battles. You may have faced one today. And if today's been easy, I don't want to depress you too bad, Roger. You might have one tomorrow. But thank God there's some banners we can raise that say, yes, I'm identified with the right side. Yes, I'm indicating I'm loyal to the Lord and what's right. But I'm also inspired to victory. Before I ever pull my sword and have to fight, I'm inspired that I'm going to have victory in the day of battle. Banners in the day of battle. All right. Amen. Come on, sister. Let's give a short invitation. This altar is going to be open. We probably need to pray tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you've gone through. Maybe you just need to get on the altar and say, Lord, I want to thank you that you are Jehovah Nissi. And you've been my banner. And you have made us as a church to be an army with many banners. And Lord, we just want to thank you for everything you brought us through. And then maybe you're going through something tonight. You just need to get on the altar and raise some banners tonight. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart that you can have victory. And then this evening, maybe you know somebody else is struggling tonight. Can I say tonight, why don't you pray for them? Why don't you pray that God would let them raise some banners this evening? Let's stand all over the building. I preached about 55 minutes, and I didn't intend to, but I hope it's been a help. Father, we love you. We'll thank you tonight for your goodness and grace. We'll thank you tonight that you're Lord, that you're God, and that, Lord, you're in charge and you're in control. Lord, been a lot of days we should have gone down in defeat, but you brought us through and you've kept us safe. Father, this evening I pray that you'd help your church tonight. You know where we are. Help these that have come tonight already. I pray you'd meet their needs and receive their praise. And Father, help them in these days of trouble that we live in. Help us, Lord, to be all you'd have us to be. Sure do love you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for the salvation that you give us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Lord, help us tonight. She's going to play just a verse or two. If you need to come, this altar's open. There's several are praying. Mind the Lord.